In a big blue barn in Russ Allen's backyard, there are thousands of shrimp, beady-eyed, bacteria-munching bottom feeders. Here, the life cycle of the shrimp starts in the breeding center, where two big tanks of water mimic a place 150 feet deep off the shore of the ocean, where the water quality and temperature are stable. Allen says it's the perfect environment for shrimp to mate.
Like in just about all animals, the male chases the female, and they do a little courtship dance, and then the male will deposit a spermatophore on the female. Then when she spawns, the eggs pass through the spermatophore, fertilize, and go out, you know, into the water.
A few months later, the shrimp end up in the production room, where all they do is eat. And sometimes, if they get excited or spooked, they jump right out of their tanks.
They don't like light.
Oh.
Do
you ever have them hit you as you're standing here?
Oh, yeah. That's why we have the nets up, so they don't jump.
Russ Allen has been farming shrimp for 3 decades. He started in Ecuador and then went to Belize, where he started the country's first shrimp farms. Allen and his wife moved back to Michigan in 1990 when he started designing his indoor shrimp farm. It finally opened for business about a year ago, and now he's selling all the shrimp he produces.
For grilling them, I just lift it up a little bit. So you get marinated, if you're going to marinate it, whatever, you get that underneath the shell and in there.
Allen says his indoor shrimp farm is one of the first of its kind in the world. There's no waste leaving his farm, so pollution's not an issue. And because there's no water coming in or going out, there's no danger of introducing diseases into his system. Allen says an indoor farm also moves shrimp farming away from fragile coastal ecosystems. That's where most of the industry has developed around the world.
In a place like the United States, with all the development on the coastline and land costs, you can't really do it anywhere next to the ocean anyway. So if you're going to have a viable shrimp farming system in the United States, you need to move it away from, you know, these coastal areas.
But indoor farms haven't always been a viable option either. In the 1980s, a handful of them opened in the U.S., including a big one in Chicago. They all failed because the technology didn't work quite right and because the cost of production made them unable to compete with outdoor farms. Bill Moore is a shrimp farming consultant and vice president of the Aquaculture Certification Council. He says now indoor shrimp farmers have a better chance of making a go of it.
Coming from third world countries, there's been a lot of issues with illegal antibiotics being found in the shrimp. There's been environmental and social issues that have the environmentalists have really come down hard upon. It's sort of prompted the opportunity if a good indoor system where you could manage those and you didn't challenge the environment.
But Moore says creating and maintaining a clean, organic indoor shrimp farm is still very expensive, and it seems an even bigger problem now that the price of shrimp is the lowest it's been in a decade. Shrimp farmer Russ Allen says he's invested several $1 million in his business. He is the only guy in the game right now, which he admits is good for business. But Allen doesn't want it that way. He says he'd like to see the industry grow in Michigan and throughout the country.
In order to do that, the government's got to be a partner in this, you know. And that has been the challenge, is that when you don't have an industry, you don't have lobbyists, and nobody listens to you. You can't get an industry until they do listen to you. So, you know, that's been our real challenge right now.
Allen says he wants the government to offer tax breaks and other financial assistance to the aquaculture industry like it does to other sectors of the economy. But he says he can't even get some local elected officials to come and see his shrimp farm. He says with so many companies moving jobs and factories overseas, he thinks government leaders should be looking for ways to help new and perhaps unconventional industries like his grow. For the GLRC, I'm Erin Toner.